Moving right along here. Agenda item number 5, Seagate Terminals. Ms. Woodward.
Good morning, Commissioner Bowe, members of the commission. The project before you today is Seagate Terminals, LLC. They are requesting authorization to dredge approximately 137,500 cubic yards of state-owned submerged land to achieve maximum depths of minus 42 feet mean low water, to install 100 linear feet of steel sheet pile bulkhead, 160 linear feet of riprap revetment, a 550-foot long by 80-foot wide wharf, and a 615-foot long by 50-foot wide access dock with 4 mooring dolphins and associated catwalks, and to construct approximately 600 linear feet of living shoreline in association with a proposed bulk materials handling facility adjacent to Jefferson Street, situated north of the South Norfolk Jordan Bridge along the southern branch of the Elizabeth River in Chesapeake. The project requires a wetlands and a subaqueous permit. And as you may recall, this matter was continued from the February 24th commission meeting. Seagate Terminals, which is headquartered in Savannah, Georgia, specializes in the storage and transfer of bulk materials, including fertilizer, wood chips, pellets, grains, and aggregate materials. The proposed project site, which is nestled in between the Norfolk and Portsmouth Beltline Railway to the north, and the city of Chesapeake's Elizabeth River Park, which is just to the south, is an ideal location and will allow Seagate to expand their base of operations to include the Hampton Roads region, and thus further extending their transport and supply capabilities to both national and international markets. This property has historically been associated with industrial uses and is in an area designated as an intensely developed area. The riverfront needs of the proposed marine terminal are primarily dictated by the vessels that will be transporting the materials. Seagate is requesting authorization to construct a 550-foot-long wharf, a 550-foot-long by 80-foot-wide wharf, to accommodate a loader crane that will maneuver up and down the dock to reach the individual holds and the bulk carriers. The access dock, which you see here, will accommodate a conveyor system that will be transporting the materials to and from the berth area to the open air and dry storage facilities on the adjacent upland. Each of the 4 proposed mooring dolphins, 1, 2, 3, and 4, will encroach over 359 square feet of state-owned submerged land. There are also 4 nine-pile dolphins, and which are in this location here, and 1 19-pile dolphin, which are located on the landward side of the wharf and will assist with barge mooring and protection of the wharf. As part of their proposal, Seagate is requesting authorization to dredge approximately 137,500 cubic yards of state-owned submerged land during an initial cycle, and this is to achieve maximum depth of minus 42 feet mean low water. The material will be disposed of at the Craney Island Rehandling Basin. Seagate is also requesting authorization to maintenance dredge up to 30,000 cubic yards of submerged material every 10 years. The southern branch of the Elizabeth River has been designated as an anadromous fish use area, and Seagate has proffered that no dredging will occur during the time of year restriction for anadromous fishes. This is from February 15th to June 30th of each year. They are requesting authorization to conduct their pile driving activities during this time period, provided they work within bubble curtains. And this is consistent with other projects that we have authorized along the southern branch of the Elizabeth River. As part of their project, Seagate will be constructing a 100 linear foot steel sheet pile bulkhead, in this location with associated return walls. This bulkhead will be fortified with riprap tow armor. The bulkhead construction will result in the permanent loss of 0.02 acres of vegetated tidal wetlands, and this, as you will see in my site photos on the next slide, is primarily dominated by Phragmites australis. Seagate is proposing to compensate for impacts to this resource through the purchase of 1,014 square feet of tidal wetland credits from Libertyville Mitigation Bank in Chesapeake. There will also be 960 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands, which will be filled as a result of the bulkhead construction. The project also consists of a living shoreline to be located landward of four breakwater structures with varying lengths of between 80 and 100 linear feet. The proposed marsh, which will be constructed, will include just over 22,800 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 11,500 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands. Seagate is also proposing to implement an invasive species monitoring and treatment plan for the constructed wetlands and the riparian buffer during the first 3 years of establishment. We have not received these are the site photos. To the left, this is the view looking to the south towards the South Norfolk Jordan Bridge, and on the right, this is looking towards the north. We did not receive any concerns from any other agencies as a result of our public interest review. DEQ will be issuing an individual permit. They are currently finalizing the sediment sampling plan. We did receive comments from Mr. Lyle Varnell with VIMS, and in his comments, he states that based on coordination with other VIMS scientists, the proposed project will result in minimal adverse environmental impacts to the littoral marine environment. He also indicated that the living shoreline that's proposed landward of the breakwaters should improve habitat quality along the shoreline. A public hearing was held on February 11th here in our main offices. We did not receive any comments or concerns at the public hearing, but just prior to that, we did receive a letter from South Norfolk Jordan Bridge, LLC, basically withholding their support for this project until they had some additional information. And that was the reason that this matter was deferred at the request of the applicant from last month's hearing. And their letter has been included, their initial letter has been included in your packet, as well as the second letter we received last week. So subsequent to our commission meeting last month, we sent a letter to South Norfolk Jordan Bridge asking them for additional comments in response to Seagate's response to their comments, and they did provide us with that letter last week. They are still looking for some additional information, which includes the following. Their first request was for either an agreement or a perpetual easement regarding access for future bridge expansion and for occasional maintenance of the bridge. And let me just backtrack for a moment. The existing South Norfolk Jordan Bridge, which was constructed in the last couple years, is currently a two-lane parallel bridge facility, and there are future plans to widen this to a four-lane parallel bridge facility. And so that is the basis of South Norfolk Jordan Bridge's concerns, is that the proposed project was encroaching too close to their future expansion area, if you will. So they were requesting an agreement regarding access. They were also asking for results from a scour analysis that would indicate that there'd be no detrimental impact to the bridge as a result of the proposed dredging activities. And the third item that they were requesting is that they don't believe they have enough information to evaluate the potential potential for barge impact on their approach piers. And they would request additional details and calculations by a certified engineer that outline that the proposed pier protection plan has the capacity to resist impacts from vessels of a size and speed reasonable under both typical and flood conditions. That came last week to us, and in order to move forward with having this heard today, Seagate actually brought to us several permit conditions. So we are addressing two of those three matters with some additional permit conditions. The issue of an agreement or easement with respect to access, we did not feel that it was appropriate to include that as a permit condition. We felt that that was a matter that really needed to be worked out between the two parties themselves. So Seagate has minimized both subaqueous and tidal wetland impacts to the greatest extent practicable and proposes to improve the existing shoreline conditions through the construction of a living shoreline landward of the proposed breakwater system. Furthermore, compensation for the permanent loss of 1,014 square feet of vegetated wetlands will be achieved through the purchase of tidal wetland credits. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1205A and 28.2-1302-10B, staff recommends approval of the project conditioned upon the purchase of 1,014 square feet of tidal wetland credits from the Libertyville Mitigation Bank. In addition to our standard dredging permit conditions, staff recommends the following special permit conditions. Erosion and sediment control measures shall be in conformance with the 1992 third edition of the Virginia Erosion and Sediment Control Handbook and shall be employed throughout construction. The permittee agrees to restore and monitor for a three-year period a minimum of 22,803 square feet of vegetated wetlands on site. Permittee agrees to coordinate all planting activities with VMRC staff, including the submission of a monitoring plan subject to staff approval and a final site inspection subsequent to the completion of the planting. Number four, wrack or other floatable marine debris shall be removed as necessary to provide for the health and survivorship of wetland plants. Number five, permittee agrees to deploy a turbidity curtain around the existing oyster reef during dredging activities, including maintenance dredging. Number six, permittee agrees to expand the existing oyster reef by an additional 300 square feet, utilizing concrete or granite materials in the event that physical damage to the oyster reef occurs during construction. Permittee agrees to coordinate with staff prior to conducting oyster restoration activities. This permit condition may be waived by staff if it is determined that no damage to the reef has occurred following completion of the project. Number seven, in lieu of a time of year restriction, permittee agrees to the use of bubble curtains surrounding all pile driving activities from February 15th to June 30th. Number eight, permittee agrees to a time of year restriction for all dredging activities from February 15th to June 30th. And number nine and 10, these are the two additional permit conditions which we have included. permittee agrees to provide South Norfolk Jordan Bridge with a scour analysis characterizing the effects of the proposed dredging on the river bottom in the vicinity of the South Norfolk Jordan Bridge support piles. And number 10, the permittee agrees to provide South Norfolk Jordan Bridge with plan details and calculations documenting that the fendering proposed by the permittee for bridge pier protection has the capacity to resist impact from vessels of a size and speed reasonable under its range of terminal operating conditions. I would be happy to answer any questions. Mr. Kevin Glover with Seagate is here, and Mr. Neville Reynolds with VHB Incorporated is also here.
Thank you, Ms. Woodward. Appreciate it. Questions from the commission? Mr. Peter.
What authority do we have to regulate number 10?
Well, this was one of the concerns or the additional information that South Norfolk Jordan Bridge had requested as of last week. And so Seagate came to us asking us if we would consider including this as a permit condition. We felt that it was appropriate to include as a condition that would require them to provide certified documentation that the fendering proposed by Seagate, which I realized as I was reading that I did not show you where that would be located, would have the capacity to resist that impact from the vessel. So let me go back. Actually, I'll tell you what. It's not part of my official presentation, but this is also part of your packet. This was VHB's response letter to South Norfolk Jordan Bridge, dated February 16th. And in order to address some of their concerns, they proposed two additional fenders here to protect these two piers. And so that's basically the additional information that South Norfolk Jordan Bridge is requesting. And that's why we included that as a permit condition.
I understand that, but what I'm asking you is what authority do we have to do to regulate to protect some private business?
Well, I think we are just requiring that they provide that documentation to South Norfolk Jordan Bridge.
Yeah, I was
going to
say the exact same thing that Tim just said, that this condition here is to require as a matter of permit that they produce that analysis, but not that we regulate the movement of boats and vessels in or around their facilities.
Well, what I'm concerned about is the cost associated with that. Who's going to pay for all that?
The analysis?
Yes.
That will be, Seagate will be conducting that analysis and providing that report.
And there goes my question is, if we don't have authority, if that's beyond our jurisdiction, we're imposing some kind of monetary requirement on an applicant that we have. If I don't know if we got the authority to do that to protect a private business. I mean, if they have a concern about their business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they are asking us to put a requirement on the applicant that's going to be a substantial cost to protect their interest, which I don't know if we got any jurisdiction to do that.
Well, I would add that the applicant agreed to that as a way to address this issue, and that under 1205 of the code, in terms of the issues we're required to consider, we're supposed to consider the effects on adjacent and nearby properties. And so, as we evaluate the effects on adjacent and nearby properties, which in this case I would think would be the bridge, this is one day to satisfy the bridge owners that what Seagate is doing to protect that infrastructure is adequate based on that engineering report. That was our rationale behind including it.
I guess this is where I'm coming from, is if we do something that is beyond our jurisdiction and then it's not adequate and a barge hits the bridge and damages the bridge, I can see the lawsuit coming this way towards the authority. And that's where I'm coming from in the bottom line here is that you're including this at the request of the bridge, but yet we're not going to be following it to make sure we haven't done our own analysis or to see if it was adequate. And then if a barge hits the bridge, then that Jordan Bridge LLC is going to be looking at us and say, hey, guys, you didn't do your job here. This barge has hit my bridge now. It's cost us millions of dollars, and I can see them suing our agency because we didn't properly research and analyze the data. There's where I'm coming from. That's why I ask you, do we have authority to do that? And the authority I'm talking about is to regulate what happens to a business that's...
Well, we're starting to delve into some legal issues that we might ask our counsel to address. But, again, we were just attempting to facilitate through the permit condition and the proffer of Seagate to include that and require that analysis, nothing more, nothing less, and that the engineering would be what the engineering is. And, you know, I guess, you know, I hate to predict adverse events, but I guess any accident could occur at the bridge, or a tug or ship could strike the bridge that we would have no control over. And so this is just an analysis of the system that's being designed to suggest that it's intended to protect that structure.
I will,
Mr. Hall,
add just for your benefit that, again, the condition here is not that we assume jurisdiction over making the call as to whether this design is proper or not, or if, you know, whether the bridge will withstand a vessel impact. It's just we're saying you have to, as a condition of getting the permit, which we're authorized to put conditions in permits under 1205E, that you have to provide a certain analysis. And also, we're not doing the analysis, so if it's inadequate in some way, then we're not, you know, saying that we're not guaranteeing the design or otherwise saying that it's properly constructed or properly designed. So I don't foresee any negligence issues or any other issues, quite frankly.
Thank you.
Ms. Hodor.
Mr. Bull, if I may just, I believe I forgot to read something into the record, the very last portion of our recommendation. I'd just like to do that quickly.
Please do.
Okay. According to 28.2-1206B of the Code of Virginia, riparian owners of commercial facilities providing services relating to the shipping of domestic or foreign cargo shall be exempt from the payment of rents and royalties, with the exception of royalties associated with the removal of bottom material. Therefore, staff recommends a one-time standard royalty payment of $61,875 for the dredging of 137,500 cubic yards of state-owned subaqueous material at a rate of 45 cents per cubic yard, and a permit expiration date of February 24th, 2020.
Thank you for getting the money issue on the record. Other questions from the commission? Mr. Sessions.
I have a quick question. You had mentioned that Jordan Bridge had a concern that the improvements could possibly be too close for any expansion of the bridge. But you don't see that as a concern, I guess, number one. And number two, is that something that we would even or should be looking at, is placement of infrastructure in the water so that one project doesn't let's say, maneuver another one?
Mm-hmm. That's certainly something that we consider, but that's also why we request comments from the adjacent property owners so that they can, you know, further elaborate on concerns that may impact an existing infrastructure or proposed infrastructure for that matter.
And they're okay with the position of the improvements, and it's not going to thwart their expansion activities?
Yes. It's my understanding the remaining concerns that they had were those three that I mentioned earlier in their letter from last week.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Erskine.
Justine, was there a consideration given to time of year restriction for spawning of the oyster reef?
No, there was not.
Okay.
And the oyster reef is located right in this area. But we did require the use of a turbidity curtain during dredging activity.
Okay.
Any other questions from the commission? So the public hearing is the applicant represented. Do you have something to add, sir? Please come forward. I need to swear you in. Will you please raise your right hand here? Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Kevin Glover, president of Seagate Handling, Savannah, Georgia. Good morning to the VMRC Commission and VMRC staff. I'd also like to thank the VMRC staff for the professional way they've handled our application here today. I'm here as the applicant to voice my support for our VMRC application number 141667. We purchased property in Chesapeake for the purposes of building a bulk dock for the importing and exporting of bulk commodities. These bulk commodities support primarily agriculture, manufacturing, and construction industries within the Commonwealth of Virginia. Our dock will support the logistical infrastructure necessary to increase Virginia's agricultural imports and exports and that is a market that continues to grow for the Commonwealth of Virginia, importing and exporting agricultural products. We need the permit approval today so we can meet our startup date to provide services to our customers already under contract. I thank you for your time. I'm available for any questions. Glover.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Glover, I have a quick question here. Do you have an economic analysis and impact on the Commonwealth for this, perhaps?
We estimate that as far as our investment, it's around $30 million of investment to build this. We have not done an economic analysis for the impact for the Commonwealth.
Thank you, Mr. Glover.
Thank you.
Any other questions from Mr. Glover? Here. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this project? Is there anybody here in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to this project? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed and the matter is before the commission.
I move we approve it as recommended by staff.
Motion by Mr. Zedron.
Second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye and the motion passes unanimously.